Begin the current daf Masech Ksubos daf Zayin. We begin on the second line for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous dafim, discussing this topic where, although Besula should get married on a Wednesday, if something happened, whether Oinus or not, if the first time comes out on the Friday night, if one is permitted to go ahead and be Boyel Ketchila on Friday night. As we discussed, the different variables, if Dam is Mifkad Pocket, and the problem would be creating a Pesach, an opening which is forbidden on Shabbos, or because of Dam Chibur Mechaber, it would be inflicting a wound. Now, Rabami Shara Lemivel Betchil B'Shabbos. So, Rabami is on record that he permitted the initial Bia to be on Shabbos. Now, related to this halacha, which is related to, again, as we just spoke about, what happens by the Bia of Besula, but Amalei Rabban, they said, besides the issue regarding Bia on Friday night, but there's another problem, is that her ksuba wasn't written. And that is, it's forbidden to consummate the relationship if the woman doesn't have a dowry written for her that will have her, that she has a lien on his properties in case that there's a divorce or something happens, that she leaves the marriage, that she could collect. So besides the fact, okay, let's say you took care of all the Shabbos violations, but there's a problem that it's Shabbos, we can't write a ksuba, so how could she consummate the relationship? Some lahus, Rabbi said to them, no problem, atfesu metatlan. So what you could do temporarily is that you could give her some of his movable property as collateral, which would be a lien for the ksuba, until you, after Shabbos, write a permanent ksuba, which that has a lien on even his karka, even his non-movable properties. But for now, it won't be considered like there's no ksuba, because the ksuba is not necessarily the written component, it's just a written document helps for the collection, and therefore you can do that by even giving her movable property now that she has something to use as a lien. Similarly, that Rav Zvid shor lemivel betchil b'Shabbos. Rav Zvid also permitted the first bia to be on Shabbos. Now, Ikadami, actually, there are those that say that Rav Zvid gufei bo betchil b'Shabbos, he himself did the first bia on Shabbos. Similarly, Rav Yehuda shor lemivel betchil b'yamtiv. He permitted the first bia. There was a couple, they got married, and they weren't able to consummate the relationship, and he said, it's okay, you could do it on Shabbat, on Yom Tov. Now, on that, Amar of Papa Mishmei de Rav, he says, now, Loi Tamer B'Yom Tov D'Shari, don't say that it's only on Yom Tov that he permitted. HaB'Shabbos also, but if it would have been on Shabbos, he would have said it forbidden. It's not true. D'Hua Din Nafil B'Shabbos Nami Shari. For most concepts of halacha, Shabbos is the same as Yom Tov, and he would have said Shabbos is permitted too. Now, Maisa Shari Kachai, like it's called that the story just happened on Yom Tov. And he permitted the malacha, whatever it is, of Chaburo or of Pesach, which would have been the same thing for Shabbos, it just happened to have been Yom Tov. Now, however, actually, Rav Papa Mishmei de Rav Amar, he says, no, it was only be Yom Tov Shabbos. He only permitted the first bia to be on, if it's Yom Tov. B'Shabbos also, on Shabbos, he actually would hold that it's forbidden. So, Amli Rav Papa asked Rav Papa, my daitach, what exactly is your understanding that you say that you would permit Yom Tov more than Shabbos? So obviously your logic is because there's a svara on Yom Tov called mitoich, and that is because their malachas of eichel nefesh are permitted on Yom Tov. One could do all many malachas for the purposes of preparation for food. Now, additionally, there's something called mitoich, which means to say that since you're allowed to do this malacha for food preparation, you could even do it for not exactly food preparation types of things if it's for a Yom Tov type of a pleasure. So obviously, what you're trying to say is, oh, since we permitted inflicting a wound for eichel nefesh purposes, for consumption purposes, for example, shechita, slaughtering an animal, is where the source of this malach of chabura is, which is what a wound is that it makes the blood that you see it under the skin because it comes out from the capillaries, from where it is inside the body, so it comes out, and that's what you see when it's a wound. That's what slaughtering is, where the blood then comes out. Now, since you're allowed to do chabura for a Yom Tov purpose of eichel nefesh, so you're saying based on the principle of mitaych, so you're allowed to do also for a non-consumption, a Yom Tov need, which is having tashmish, that's also going to be permitted, even though it's shalei letzarech, even though it will be inflicting a wound. Now, that's why you're saying that's why that's only permitted on Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, there's no eichel nefesh permitted to then say mitaych, oh, since we allowed chabura for eichel nefesh purposes, so we also allowed it for non. There is no such heter on Shabbos, so therefore it's uniquely for Yom Tov. But if that's the case, elamiata, so then mutu lasis mogbe Yom Tov, you should be permitted to make incense on Shabbos, which is that they would put the different fragrant spices on the fire, which that would be beneath clothing that were hanging, and that was called the mugmar, where they would then go ahead and finish off the utensils and the garments, which would give it a nice finishing touch, which had that fragrant aroma. You should be able to do that also on Yom Tov. And we know that it's not. And the reason why it should be permitted based on your logic is because the mitoch shehotra havo l'tzarich, since it's permitted to do a fire, a lot of light of fire on Yom Tov, for at least biblically, besides the halacha of noilid, you're allowed to go ahead and make a fire for echel nefesh purposes. So hotra namish lo l'tzarich, you should be able to make a fire for this mugmer, even though it's not for echel nefesh purpose, because it's still a pleasure that you get. Why is it any different than you're allowing the first bia on Yom Tov because of mitoich? So if you say mitoich, so you should mitoich by mugmer too. So that omaleir, a papa said to Rav Papi, no. Alecha makrotz, regarding your question that the pasuk says in Shemoiz, says, achar sheyeochei l'chol nefesh. However, only that which is eaten by every person, that's what the pasuk concludes, hu levado yos lechem. Only that are you allowed to do a malacha on Yom Tov. Now the interpretation of that means, what does it mean l'chol nefesh? Davar hashav l'chol nefesh, this that we permitted, malachas of echol nefesh, and similarly of mitoich, that even if it's not directly for echol nefesh, but some other pleasure is permitted, it's only something that's universal, that everybody wants. Now, doing bia is something that's universal. Every relationship has that. However, mugmer, these aromatic spices that smell the clothing, is only for the more delicate, the more refined type of people. They're more sensitive to the smell, and therefore they do it, but it's not what's called shav l'chol nefesh. And since it's not universal, that was never included in the heter of what's written in the Torah for Yom Tov. And therefore, yes, we could say that he only permitted on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. And that's because of mitaych, which allows chabur by shchita, so he allowed even that something that's not l'chol nefesh. But on Shabbos, you don't have that. Now, Amalei Rav Acha bereid the Rav l'Rav Ashi, but he asked, El Miato, now, based on this principle of mitoich, which we just qualified as only, that it's something that's dabe shabel chol nefesh, that you're allowed to go ahead and even for echol nefesh, well then, nizdama lo yitzvi b'yom tev, let's say someone encounters a deer on Yom Tov. So, you should say, hove in the shabel chol nefesh, since not everybody eats deer meat, which is very expensive, it's only for the wealthy. So, you're going to say that it's forbidden to slaughter a deer on Yom Tov? We never heard of such a thing. It's echol nefesh. So you want to say that would be forbidden? So Malay says, no. I said that it's a human desire, a human need for that thing. Now, deer meat then is something that everybody likes. It's just very expensive. So not everybody could afford it, and not everybody eats it. But it's shav l'chol nefesh. Everybody would do it. But that stands in contrast to mugmer, to megamer asakelim, when not everybody even cares about that. No, they're not into that, they're not so refined to or so sensitive to actually need it, and therefore it's not a shav l'chol nefesh need, whereas deer meat is, it's just not so accessible for most people, and therefore, yes, of course, you'd be able to slaughter deer meat on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara continues on this topic that Amr B'Yakab Bar-Idi says, although we just quoted many that said that it's permitted to do Bi Rishayin on Shabbos, or at least on Yom Tov, he directed his psak in Sidon that it's also livel b'tchil b'Shabbos. That it's forbidden to go out and do the first bia on Shabbos. That the Gemara wonders on the vernacular that's used to define this statement that he said. The Gemara asks, do you really use the terminology of what's called paskening of teaching when it's prohibiting? In other words, everybody could be stringent. In other words, when someone is saying something's forbidden, it's not that you're relying on the person, because even if you're in doubt and it's not so clear to you what the halacha is, so it's very easy. The person says, okay, you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to. Now, you're not really relying on what he has to say because it's not definitive. It's just, okay, you remove yourself from the doubt. Only someone that permits something, that let's say he's relying on something that he heard or something that he has understood, that's a hayra, that's a psak, that's something that he's teaching. And it's something that you rely on. So does it really make sense to say when someone's saying something's forbidden, which Rabbi Yochanan was doing, to say the Lashon of Hayra? And the Gemara says, and yes, it's although yes, you could say something's forbidden even when you don't know, just because you want to play it safe, but when you know something definitive, you could say Hayra even when you're forbidding something. As the Gemara brings a few rayas, because Vatnan, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Nazir, that talks about by Hilni Hamalka, the Queen Hilni, that her son went off to war. Now, she took an oath of 7 years as a Nazir if her son will come back safely. Now, she counted 7 years when she was outside of Eretz Yisrael. Then afterwards, she made Aliyah. She came up to Eretz Yisrael. On that, the Mishnah says the Hiru Bes Hillel, so Bes Hillel paskin for her Shatei Nizir Oid Shebeshan Macheris. That what she had counted in Chutzlars didn't count, and that in Eretz Yisrael that's a different arena. You have to count another 7 years. So, but one thing we see from there is that although that was a stringency, but they still use the terminology of Hiru. So you see that Binami or another proof you could bring is Kehad the time like Lina Brisa. The Brisa says that Chuta Sheder Shenifsek Berubai, if the spinal cord was separated, was shattered in its majority, then that's considered a sign of tarfus, of a mortal defect. Now that's Divi Rebbe. Rebbe Yaakov Amir says, no, fill a nikiv, even if it's just pierced, it got a hole, even that would make something into a trefa. Now that, the Braisa says, Hayra Rebbe, Rebbe Yaakov, that Rebbe was Moira, he taught, like Rebbe Yaakov, which was a stringency, and still we say that, although that was for just a hole, and he was saying Hayra for that, we see that even though Chumri could say Hayra. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara says that Amar Rav Huna, that actually ain't halacha Rebbe Yaakov. Although Rebbe passed like Rebbe Yaakov, halacha does not fall like him. And if you just have a nikiv, if it's just pierced, that would actually not make it into a trefa. Now, the Gemara quotes that Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Masni Hachi actually had a different version of this previous discussion of what Rebbe Yechonah had paskin, that it's forbidden to have the first bia on Shabbos. He says it in a different way. He says that Amar Rebbe Vo had said, that Shol Rebbe Shmuel ben Yaakov de Mintzur, who was from Tzur, as Rabbi Yechonon ben Tzaddon, he asked this question of Rabbi Yechonon Tzaddon, and Rabbi Vo says, "Vanos Shami," and I heard this discussion, which the question he had asked him was, "Ma'o livel betchil b'Shabbos? What's halacha? Can you do the initial be on Shabbos?" V'amalein, Rabbi Yechonon responded to him, "Also that's forbidden." However, the Gemara concludes, "Behelchas halacha is mutter livel betchil b'Shabbos. It's permitted, although if let's say the Besulis was to get married on Wednesday, they weren't able to go ahead and consummate the relationship until Friday night, the first bia could be done on Shabbos." Now the Gemara resumes discussing the topic of our mission regarding a besula getting married. So Amar b'chelba, Amar afuna, Amar abba b'azavda, Amar rav, achas besula, whether she's a besula, v'achas amana, whether she was a widow that was already once married and she's not a besula, tu'una bracha, she requires a bracha, which means to say, the birchas chasanim, which is commonly known as the sheva brachas, which are the 6-7 brachas that are said at the sudas during the Yimei HaMishta. Now, that the Gemara asked, Umiyam Rav Huna, did Rav Huna really say this? That it doesn't make a difference if she's a besula or an almana that she gets the sheva brachas? But Vam Rav Huna said, Almana ain't a tuna bracha. The widow, when she gets married, she doesn't have the sheva brachas. So that the Gemara says, Loi kasha, it's not a difficulty. It depends. Who is the almana getting married to? Kan bebachar shanas almana. When the man was never married before, and he's marrying a widow, then you need the birchas chasanah. Can be alman shenas almana, but when the widow is marrying a widower, then you don't need the bracha of the sheva brachas. Now that the Gemara asks, is that really so? V'alman shenas almana loy, if both of them were widowed, then you don't have the sheva brachas. But v'amr Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said that amali hu in the barnas and tanu learn the brayso that says minayin lebrichas chasan basar. What's the whole source of the sheva brachas that it requires 10 people? So he says because shenem, like it says a pasuk in Megillas Rus. Says v'yikach asara anoshim zikno ir, that Boaz went and took 10 of the elders of the city. V'yoyim shvu po, he says sit over here by yeshiva, and they sat, and that's when he consummated his relationship with Rus. Now Boaz, regarding Boaz, he was an alman, as the Gemara says elsewhere in Baba Basra that Avtsin was Boaz. Now Avtsin already had 30 sons and 30 daughters, so obviously, he had already had a relationship, and he was widow. Shenas almana hava, where he married a widow, who that was Rus. That's the whole story. How it starts off, that they went and their husbands died. So that's alman shenas almana, and that's the source of the sheva brachas, that it needs 10 people. So how can you say that alman shenas almana doesn't require the bracha of the sheva brachas? So Rav, the Gemara says that no. My enetuna bracha, the Rav Huna. What does Rav Huna mean when he says that almana does not need the bracha? It means enetuna bracha kol zayin. Meaning for all the Shivas Yimei HaMishta, for the 7 days which we generally have, which people call the Sheva Brachas, but it's the Shivas Yimei HaMishta, 7 days of celebration, of feasting after the wedding, a widow does not need those brachas. Avo Yemecha Tuna Bracha, but for one day, the day of the wedding, then they do need, even by a widow, which, as we said, even when she marries a widower, which was the case by Bayez, requires the Sheva Brachas. But the Gemara still asks, But Elohad Tanya, but then this that we learned in the Brice that said, Shaktu Chacham Matakanis B'nei Sisol, that the sages were diligent regarding making sure that everything works out for the Jewish woman when she's getting married, where they made sure Shehei Semech Ima Gimel Yamim, that although she's a widow and she doesn't get necessarily the same time of celebration as a Besula, but they made sure that the wedding should be on a Thursday so that he'll celebrate with her a Thursday. The day of the Bia will be on Friday, so then he'll spend that with her too. And then Shabbos will be Shabbos, not going to work anyway, so that he'll celebrate with her for 3 days. Now, the question is, B'mai, that widow that the Brice is talking about, what's the case? Ibe Bacher, if it's someone when she's marrying a man that had never been married before, Ha'amrit Shiva, you just said before that actually there they celebrate for 7 days. In other words, as Rashi explains, because from the fact that when Rav Huna said that the widow does not require Sheva Brachas, we just explained what does that mean doesn't need. Of course it needs, as we see from Bayas. It meant she doesn't need for 7 days. So when Rav Abba says that the widow needs, it obviously needs for 7 days. So when it's Almana that marries a Bacher, it's going to be for seven. Now, Ibe Almain, and if it's a Almana that's getting married to a widower, so Ha'amet Yemechad, you just said that's only for 1 day, because that's how we resolved regarding the Inatuna Bracha. You don't need for seven, but you need for one. So where do you ever find a widow that we instituted shall have 3 days? It's either seven if it's a Bacher, or it's only one if it's an Alman. So what's three? So the Gemara says, Ibaisim, if you want, you could say that the Braisa that was talking about Shaktu, that they made sure the Alman is going to get 3 days of celebration, either you could say it's talking about B'Alman when she married a widower. Now the understanding of that is that yes, Yom Echad LeBracha, we said there's only be 1 day for Sheva Brachas. But Bashleish LaSimcha, she'll have 3 days of rejoicing and celebrating with him that he's not going off to work. V'ibayisim, or if you want, you could say, the Braisa was actually talking about Bebachar. Now, although we said that Amanda marries a Bachar, it's Shiva LaBracha, there's 7 days of Sheva Brachas, but he can still go off to work. He's not going to be celebrating with her. Maybe when they eat a meal, when he comes home late after work, he's going to eat a Sudi, you'll make Sheva Brachas. But we made sure with Amanda that Bashleish LaSimcha. So although she's marrying a Bachar, that they'll have 7 days of Sheva Brachas, but he can still go off, but they wanted to make sure that he stays with her and that he celebrates with her for 3 days. So therefore, we made the wedding on Thursday and then the day of Bia on Friday, and then Shabbos is not going to work anyway, so that will be 3 days of Simcha. So the Shaktu or 3 days of Simcha could either be for Amon that marries a Bachar or Amon that marries Amon, and yet, yes, Sheva Brachas will be different. Bachar is 7 days and the Amon is only 1 day. Now, however, the Gemara continues, Amon Bezin still asks, Meisvei, but we learned in the Braisa, which this seems to contradict this, that we said that a Bachar gets the Sheva Brachas for 7 days, even when he's marrying an Almana, because the Braisa says, Mavarchin lebesula Shiva. Now, we make the Sheva Brachas when a Besula is getting married for 7 days, which the Gemara later on will explain that when Pan Chadashas come, when there's a new person coming, so then you make all the Sheva Brachas, all the 7 days. But if not, if there's only the same people again and again for 7 days straight, then you only make one bracha. But you make the brachas for 7 days. But for a widow, then we only make the brachas only 1 day. Now, so that the Gemara asks, my love, the brisa does not differentiate. It says Amana always gets the brachas only 1 day. Well, it sounds like even if she's getting married to a bachar that the man never got married, it's still only be 1 day. That refutes what we just said before, that Almana that marries a Bachar gets the brachas for 7 days. So the Gemara says, Lai no, La Alman. When the Braisa was talking about the Almana only gets the brachas for 1 day, it was talking about when she marries a widower. So the Gemara asked, but Avala Bachar Mai. So, but what would you say regarding a Bachar? As we said on Amud Aleph, that Shiva, that she would get the brachas for 7 days. Well, Ihachi, listening, then the Braisa should have said, Mavarchil Mesula Shiva. As it says that when it's a besula, she gets the brachas for 7 days. Then it should have said even more of a chiddush. Ulamana shanis is labachar shivan. Even if she's a widow, but if she's marrying a bachar, she still gets the brachas for 7 days. Ulamana yamechad. But if it's almana marrying an alman, then it's going to be 1 day. Why didn't they say that? So the Gemara answer is milsa psikta ktani. The Braisa wanted to say things that are concrete, that are definitive. In other words, the leka besula debatz mishiva. You never have a woman that's a besula that's getting married that will have less than 7 days no matter who she's married. So we said it because that's definitive. V'leka almana debatzim yamechad, and there's never an almana that gets less than 1 day of the brachas, and therefore we said that too. But to say a middle case, which is a variable that depends, we don't want to say, because it depends on the almana that marries a bachar. So that's something to which Almana will always get one, Besula will always get seven, those are definitive. But yes, of course, there could be variations. If an Almana marries a Bachar, then she'll get the brachas for 7 days. Like Mokor quotes Gufa, what we had quoted on Amid Aleph. Amr of Nachman, he said, Amali Huna bar Nasan, that Tana who learned the Braisa, Binayin Lebrichas Chasan Basar. From where do we know that the Sheva Brachas that we make has to be with 10 people, a minion as it's called? Shem, like it says in that Pasuk in Rus, it says, V'ikach Chasar Anosh Mizikneir, boy, he's took from 10 of the elders of the city. V'im Shavu Poy says, sit over here. What was he doing? He was making Sheva Brachas. Rebavam, Mahach Rebavam says from a different Pasuk. A Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, B'makheloiz Borchu Elikim Hashem. That in the assemblies you should bless Hashem your God, Mimikar Yisrael, from the source of the Jewish people. Now, what that means is that there should be a blessing on the Mikar. Now, what that means is, as the Tesis written brings from the Bahag, that at the time when you're making a bracha on the Mikar, which is a euphemism, the source, which is for the uterus of the woman, and that's because you're making a bracha now on Piriviv, which is what the idea of marriage is for. So then you need a kehillah. That's what I'm saying. When you have a bracha on the Makar of Yisrael. Now, kehillah means 10 people. Now, how do we know that? Because the Pasuk in Bamid Bachav says, Hakel es Eidah. So we see that Hakel, kehillah, is a reference to Eidah. Now, an Eidah is 10 people. And the way we know that is, as the Gemara learns in Masechtas Brachos, from that it says, Ma'adas Meraglim. That it says, Ad Masai Le'idah Hara, that Hashem says, oh, until you can have this bad assembly, which is a reference to the spies. Now, the spies, although there were 12, but that excludes Yeshua and Kalev, who were not in that council to spread slander about Eretz Yisrael. That leaves 10. That's we see that Eda is 10, and therefore we see that Hakel es Eda, Hakel is also 10. So when it says over here that you make a bracha on the Makar of Yisrael, which means regarding the idea of marriage, then you need b'makelis, you need to have 10 people. Now, the Gemara asks, for Rav Nachman, b'hai krod b'vo my darshbe, what does he do with the Pasuk of Bravo, with Makelos, Baruch Elokim Hashem, and Mekar Yisrael, if he already knows 10 from his Pasuk and Rus? So I think, where's Mibayla? He needs it, look at the Dan, like Braisa. Harimei Emer Mei would say, Minayin Shafila Ubrim Shebimei Imun. How do we know that even the fetuses in the mother's womb, Amr Shira Al Yam, that they sang the Shira, the Az Yashir by the Yamsuf? Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, B'makelis, Baruch Elokim Hashem, that when there was the assemblage, that they blessed Hashem the God, Mimikar Yisrael, even from the Mokar, again, which is a euphemism to the woman's womb, from the source of the Jewish people, because that is the source of the Jewish people, that they were, even they were being Baruch Es Hashem. V'idach, but Rebavo, he says, no. Im Kain, if that would be the interpretation of the Pasuk, Lemakram mi batn, it should say from the stomach, because the fetus is not inside the womb. Maybe that's where it starts from, but it's actually formed in the stomach. So Maimim Makar. So what does it mean from the source? It means Al Iski Makar. Regarding the topic of the Makar, meaning regarding a Chasna, which that's the consummation of the relationship, which that's the beginning of the source of the Jewish people. But if it was referencing to the fetus, it should have been in the womb, which is the stomach, not the Makar. But now the Gemara asks Rebavo, regarding him, Bahai Krodr of Nachum Maidarshbe, what does he do with the Pasuk in Rus that Boaz was collecting 10 people? What does he do with that? Because he doesn't need it for Sheva Brachas, as he learns it out from the Azar Pasuk, from Tehillim. So the Gemara says, Hahu, he learns that this, that Boaz was collecting 10 people, was not for Sheva Brachas. Mibayla, he needs it for something else. That Boaz was collecting 10 people, the Midrash Amayni B'Layman, as he was expounding, that although Ruz is from the people of Moav, but he wanted to say that although the Torah says it's forbidden to take gerim from the people of Amoin, but it says Amoini in the masculine, v'loy Amoinis, but not the females. And similarly, Moyavi v'loy Moavis, not the females, and therefore it's okay, and that's why we want to expound that for 10 people, for them to know that it's okay that he's marrying a Moabite woman, because it's not forbidden. Now, and the proof of this is, because the Yisrael G'daydik L'Brach, if you would entertain that like Reb Nachman, that it's talking about of the idea of Sheva Brachas, well then, Loisagi de la Zakenim, it wouldn't be enough that it wasn't the 10 elders of the city. Why does he need Zakenim, Tamid Chacham? Obviously, it's because he's giving a Talmudic discourse and he wanted the sages to be there. But if it was just to make Sheva Brachas, you could have any 10 people. Now, but V'idach Rav Nachman holds that no. Isa G'daydach Lemidrash, if it's like you think it is, that he was expounding this topic, well, Loisagi de la Vasar wouldn't be enough that he needs 10 people. Why would you need 10? Yes, you need Zakenim to be giving a Talmudic discourse, but why would you need 10? Obviously, it wasn't to just give a Talmudic discourse. It was because of Sheva Brachas. And I think my answer is no. Actually, it's not difficult to quench your bevo, because lefersumi milsa. in. Yes, from the Sudan Mills, it was to publicize. Yes, you need 10, even though you're giving Tamaruk discourse because you want it to be known. Like Shmuel said to Rav Chana, who was from the city in Babel, which was called Baghdad, Puk va'isli be'asoy, says, go out and gather for me 10 people. And in front of them, I'm going to say, so you see that when someone is giving Talmudic discourse that he wants to publicize it, getting 10 people is a relevant number. And he says, because then I'll tell you in front of them the hamazaka. If someone merits, in other words, if he gifts something to somebody else through a proxy, through someone else, la'uber, which in this case, if you want to gift it to a fetus that's still in its mother's womb, kana, the uber actually could acquire it, although the uber cannot actually hold on to it to acquire it, but through someone else, you could be mezaka to a uber. However, parenthetically, the Gemara concludes on that, v'hilchas actually halach is a mezaka l'uber loikon. If you merit to an uber, it actually does not acquire it. But one thing we see is that having 10 people actually is relevant, even if you're just giving a Talmudic discourse, if you want to be mefarsimit, which obviously that was the purpose of Baya, so that everyone should know that it was permitted for him to marry Rus. The Gemara continues on this topic of Sheva Brachas. Tabor Linda Braisa. Mevarchin Birchas Chasanu. We make the bracha of what's called Birchas Chasanu, which is commonly called Sheva Brachas, the seven brachas, which the Gemara in the coming daf is going to talk about what these brachas are. We make them Beves Chasan, meaning when she has already entered into the chuppah of Nisuin, which is, that's called the Beis Chasanim, which is, that's in the Chasna. So once they already are doing Nisuin, that's when you make the bracha of the Birchas Chasanim. But Rabbi Hudam, he actually argues, he says, no, af bevesi ha'erisin. Even if when there's only Kedushin, mevarchin ha'isa, even then you already make all the Birchas Chasanim, as the Gemara is going to qualify this halacha. Actually, that in today's time, this wouldn't be so relevant because we do Kedushin and Nisun together by the Chuppah, as we're going to see what is the part of Erisin that we do, which is when you give the ring, which is Kedushin, and then there's the Nisun, which is either the Chuppah or the Batekin or the Yichidrum, but that's the Nisun. So we actually do that all together, but in Talmudic times, there could be a distance of a year from Kedushin to Nisuin. So on that is where the discussion is, the Birchas Chasanim, what we call the Sheva Brachas, would they only be at the time of Nisuin? Or like Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it would even be at the time of Erisin, at the time of Kedushin. Now, Amar Abaye qualifies this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. He says that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about Ubi Yehudishanu. He was talking about in the land of Judea, which was a certain part of Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why over there Rabbi Yehuda held that they would even make the Sheva Brachas even at the time of the Erisin, is because in Yehuda, they would seclude the chasn and the kala, even though they were just engaged. Now the reason for that is, as the Gemara later on explained in Afyud Beis and Aleph, was that they should become familiar with each other because you're just going to get married and then you can expect them to be in the most intimate way. They're not going to be comfortable. So therefore they went and they said, even when you're just engaged, we want you to be miyachet, to be secluded, so that you become friendly with each other. Now, but that because of that is what Rabbi Yehuda says, that they would make the Birchas Chasanim even already when they just had Erisin, because as is taught in the Braisa Maseches Kala, that a Kala, a bride without the Brachas, of the Sheva Brachas, is forbidden to her husband like a Nida. And therefore that would make them obviously forbidden to have relations, but obviously even to have Yichid, which is related to that, and therefore because they were Meyachid, they made sure to have the Sheva Brachas already at the time of Erisin. Tanidach, we learn a different braisa that says mevarchin birchas chasan beves chasanim, like the Tanakama said that no, you only make the sheva brachas at the time of nisuin, which is what at the chuppah, which is nisuin. But ubirchas erisin beves erisin. But there are brachas that you make at the time of engagement, which is not what we call engagement, but the halachic engagement, that of erisin, which is let's say when the ring is given. That is, you make the brachas of erisin. So the Gemara asks, Berchas Erisin, Maim Avarach, what is the Brach of Erisin that we make, which, again, we make today at the same time, right before we go ahead and do the Nisuin and the Sheva Brachas. So what is this Bracha? So Ravin Baravada and Rabba Baravada, Tavayim Eshmed Rabbi Hudami, they both said in the name of Rabbi Huda that the Bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem, Alekeinu Melech Olam, blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the world, that was Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvayso, that has sanctified us in His commandments, V'tzivonu al arayis, and has commanded us regarding the forbidden relations. V'asro lanu es arusis, and it is forbidden for us the women that are engaged. Now, that's actually rabbinic, because it's only rabbinic that made forbidden yichud, the seclusion of a single woman with a man. Now, even though she's engaged, she's narusa, it's not permitted for them to be secluded together until they gather for chuppah and the sheva brachas, as we explained that from the Brisa Masechtas Kala, that a kala without sheva brachas is forbidden to her husband like a nida. So actually this part that we say, that the women that are engaged to us are forbidden to us, and this is what's said at the time of Erisin, that although we're getting halachically engaged, she's still forbidden to us, that's actually a rabbinic law, which forbids the yichud of any single woman, which includes even if she's engaged, again, because there's no sheva brachas yet, which only happens at the time of Nisuin of Chuppah. Where again, as we said, Rabbi Huda says that's why in Judea they specifically did make the Sheva Brachas by Erizim, because they would be Miyachal later. Now Rashi points out that although it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, you could still say Vitzivanu, that Hashem commanded us, and you could say that Asalanu, that Hashem made it forbidden for us, as we find in the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Avchav Gimel Alf, by the candle lighting of the Ner Chanukah, where although we say Vitzivanu, and that was a later rabbinic institution, the Gemara there finds biblical allusions and sources for this halacha that Hashem put that in to the Torah, that He commands you to listen to the rabbis, and therefore it's like Hashem commanded us to be forbidden to the women that we're engaged to. But the Hidru Lanu, that He permitted to us, our wives, that Hanesuas, that are married to us, Alidei Chuppah VeKiddushin, through the Chuppah ceremony, which is Nisuin, and Kiddushin, which is what they were doing now, let's say 12 months before. So that Bracha of Erisin they would do at the time of Erisin, which it would be saying partly of it is that we're not fully able to consummate a relationship yet. Yes, she's forbidden to everyone else. That's the word kiddushin. One interpretation is that it means separated. She's separated from everybody else, but we're still not permitted. Now, Rav Acha Barei de Rava, he was Mesayimah B'Shmei de Rabbi Huda. He said that actually that Rabbi Huda concluded this bracha with another addition to it, that it ended off, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, that sanctifies the Jewish people, Alidei Chuppah VeKiddushin, through the ceremony of Chuppah and Kiddushin. Now the Gemara explains that Mandalay Chasam, the first version that didn't have an ending to the bracha, it just has, as we said, a Baruch atah Hashem, and it ends off with Alidei Chuppah VeKiddushin, meaning the first time, without ending with another Baruch atah Hashem. Is Midid Hava Birchas Peiris, it's similar to like when we make brachas on fruits, where we make a Bari Prey Eitz, Vabirchas Mitzvahs, and when we make a bracha on a commandment, let's say when you say Ala Shechita on the slaughtering, or Ala Mila on the circumcision, where you don't make another, when you say the initial Baruch Atah Hashem, you don't end up with another Baruch Atah Hashem. And the reason is because it's one, what's called Haida, one thanks, one blessing. There's nothing that's a different topic that interrupts in the middle to then require a new ending, a chasima. As Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim, Daf Kof Ayin Aleph, that what's the reason that Birchas HaMitzvos has only one Baruch Atah Hashem? It's because it's one Haida. Here also, it's one idea. It's one idea of being forbidden to our Arusos. Now, however, Uman the Chasim, but according to Rav Acha, that said in the name of Yehuda, that there is another Baruch Atah Hashem, which is called an ending, another Baruch Atah Hashem, is Midi Dehava Akidusha. It's because its similarity to Kiddush. In other words, since the terminology we use for Kiddushin is called Kiddush, sanctification, now, so that's similar to the same idea of Kiddush that we make on Shabbos. So therefore, just like by Kiddush on Shabbos, we make a chasima, we make a new Baruch Atah Hashem when we end up the bracha, Mekadesh HaShabbos. So now, the reason why there we make another Baruch Atah Hashem is because we interrupt in the middle of Kiddush with other ideas. Like, for example, we say Kihuyam Tchil Mikra Kedish, that it's the beginning of all the different Mikra Kedish, which is not relevant to the Haidah that we're making in the beginning of Kiddush. So since we interrupt with something else, so therefore you have to end with another Baruch Atah Hashem. So because Kiddushin is called Kiddush, like Shabbos is Kiddush, and just like over there, so although here it's one Haidah, but just like over there, we end with a Baruch Atah Hashem, so here also by the Kiddushin ceremony, we're also going to end with another Baruch Atah Hashem of Mekadesh Yisrael, Adei Chuppah VeKiddushin.